Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast, and we're recording in Barcelona, courtesy of Kaspersky Lab, and joined by, finally, Jane Franklin. Jane, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks.
Now, we've spoken before, but we weren't doing a podcast 2 years ago, so it's great to have you on.
Thank you.
And your book, Insecurity, and Why a Failure to Attract and Retain Women in Cybersecurity is Making Us All Less Safe. It's been a journey for you, and you're still going flat out, but maybe talk about the inspiration of the book. And, yeah, where you got to.
Yeah, so for me, writing the book, you know, it came about because I picked up a report by ISC Squared. And, you know, I've been in the industry for over 20 years. And when I picked up this report, which was round about November 2015, I could see that there were low numbers of women in the industry. But that really shocked me, because when I came into the industry 20 years ago, I knew that there weren't many women in the industry, but certainly where we were in 2015, I thought there were many, many more than the report was writing about. But what shocked me the most was actually seeing the declining trend. So moving from 18% in 2009 to 11%, then 10%, and then 11%.
Yeah.
And that shocked me so much that I had to write about my experience of working in the industry and from what I saw. And I felt so scared to do that. I literally thought, I'm going to be crucified for what I'm writing about. But be brave. No one can take that away from you. It's your view, your experience. So just do it. So I pushed the button on LinkedIn, spent the whole weekend writing about it, and went off and walked my dog thinking, oh, please let it be okay. And when I got back, it was, you know, comments started to come in, and over the next few weeks, I could really see that there was such a huge appetite and people felt so strongly about it. And because of that, I continued to write more for some magazines. Yep. And then over the Christmas period, I wanted to add more value, so I wanted to turn it into a report and then have guides for all people, so from books to education courses to events to things for children, for boys and girls, or for just girls. So I did that, and because it was 15,000 words, I thought, well, that's half a book. Maybe I could add more value if I go out and start interviewing people about this. And so at that point, I thought, well, don't put in the effort, go and test it, look for a signal. So I went onto LinkedIn, because I've got quite a big following, and asked my followers, do you want me to do this? And the answer that came back was yes. And when I got that answer, I thought, let's do a Kickstarter project, because this is really testing the market. Again, I don't want to put that effort in if people don't want it. So I did a Kickstarter project, raising the money to have the book published, because it's a hybrid.
So it is a self-published book at the end of the day, is it?
It's a hybrid. So really, because I didn't want to attract necessarily a publisher and go out and spend all the time, you know, doing that. I actually just wanted to get on and make the book work.
So it wasn't something that publishers had turned you down?
No, not at all.
Okay, because I would have thought a number of publishers would have been quite keen to hear that. And this is before, I mean, you know, without going into the feminist movement, certainly over the last couple of years, there's been a massive drive in women in cyber and women in security. But, yeah, definitely you were sort of just ahead of the curve. You're obviously attuned at the time. But the other thing I've really enjoyed, you gave a talk today, is you're really locking it in down to research. And, you know, we've done a number of podcasts on women in cyber. I'm really surprised that we've gone backwards from 18% down to 11%. Yeah. Whilst the industry is growing, so it's not necessarily a ratio perspective either. But what are some of the key findings? What stands out for you, other than you gave probably a 45-minute talk, what are some of the real key aspects that stands out for you of the importance of women in cyber?
So women do see risk in a different way. So, you know, we're able to spot changing patterns of behaviour, which obviously is required in our industry. We score really highly when it comes to social and emotional intelligence, which is really useful with our industry. the collective intelligence of a group increases when we have more women in the industry. So women are naturally more risk averse, and because our job in security isn't to secure, it's to mitigate risk, we need to get more women into the industry and staying in it so that we can actually evaluate our risk and mitigate more appropriately. So we do need that diversity of thinking, background, experience, gender, socioeconomic, et cetera, et cetera. But we have to have more women in the industry because we do see risk in a different way. The other thing that I am very aware of is that we need to really create these environments so we have more women leaving the industry than are coming into it. And when we look at the reasons why, and I'm going to say that more data, more research needs to be done because there is very little that is out there or is being shared. We do have to create an environment that supports not just women in security, but all people in security. And this is particularly relevant with the way that we are progressing in terms of the next decade. So we are transitioning. Technology is moving at speed. We need to evolve. And we need to create these environments that are good for all people.
What's your view on the use of quotas?
Quotas and targets, some countries have to have them and some countries aren't allowed to have them. What gets measured improves. So anyone who knows me knows that I always say at the start of any engagement, what is your objective? What do you want to achieve? You know, time is very limited. We can never get it back. So define what it is that you want to achieve. So be ambitious with your targets or your goals or your mission, but actually specify.
But I suppose my point is the objective is diversity.
Mm.
Diversity in thinking creates better output, right? But how do you get that diversity? And I don't believe in the argument of merit because the merit is biased.
That's right.
So without, you know, and this discussion is happening at a political level in Australia, you know, just with the Liberal Party, they're not going to change though. So yeah, I don't know what the answer is, and how do you put a quota on an industry? Because obviously it comes down to the enterprise, the organisation, as to what's important for them as well.
Absolutely, and you have to be careful with the quotas because they can just turn into non-meaningful statistics. Yeah. So what does matter is that the company is evolving, because ultimately what we're talking about is strategic advantage, is performance. So yes, we do need to ensure that the minorities, of which, you know, gender is one of them, are being treated more fairly. But ultimately what we want is this performance. And if women in security are key to us performing to a higher level, then we've got to make sure that we are enabling it. So quotas and targets and things like that are really difficult, maybe necessary, but we also have to make sure that they're not just being used as a number as opposed to a meaningful progression.
Should it be done maybe at the school, university level? Because I think we're going to be a decade behind. We might as well start at the schools and early childhood. I mean, you talked about your five rules. We might not have time to go all through five of them, but certainly the de-biasing, removing the stereotypes and de-biasing the environment, that needs to be done at an early childhood level and through, because it's too late for adults to do it. I mean, we can try, but it's hard to
really bias. Kids get biased at, I think it's between 4 and 6.
Yeah.
You know,
well, some of the stuff that's come out of the UK where they've de-biased a school and suddenly the girls are starting to take leadership roles as students and moving into, you know, non-biased tech. It's been and happens quickly. It's not like this doesn't happen a year later. It happens almost immediately.
Yeah. It's incredible. We have to do that, so we have to get in. But in parallel, we can still go after, I spoke about low-hanging fruit, so the career pivoters. So we have so much skill out there, you know, if you just look at tech.
Yeah.
So tech, data, risk, cyber, you know, there's so much there that we can harness, or even outside of it, say with law or with the HR, very similar to really what we're doing in terms of protecting the organization. or even teaching or journalists. I spoke about journalists. So I know many companies that have brought in journalists or marketers to help with training and awareness and that whole communication piece. So there are so many areas that we can pull from and career pivot from and do that quite quickly. But we have to invest in them, and we have to define what it is that we need, the skills and capability that we need, and then enable that, which we're not doing right now.
What happened from, why the drop from 18 down to 11? Because this has been raised with us previously, is, you know, in the 90s it was relatively high, and then it seemed to have turned around and gone backwards. What in your research did you put a finger on it?
No, it's, I mean, there's no data that really looks at that. We can hypothesize and say, well, maybe it is because of media representation and things like that, boys' toys and things like that, that tech association, or I think it was in the 60s, so say coding was a very popular form of employment for women, and then when it became more important, then it was taken away. So whether it is a taking away of power from women, I don't know. So one thing I do know is that more research needs to be done looking into why. So, for example, why are women exiting? Why are women leaving the workforce and not coming back?
Do you think it correlates to a rise of women in other industries like law and, you know, there's other industries that seem to have got it right? Law is one, I think. If you look at the legal industry,
or accounting,
if that was something that where another industry opened up and created that diversity, and suddenly women were attracted there, I don't know, but it's definitely worth research, right?
It really is, and I think one of the first pieces of research that needs to be done is actually finding the women who have left and asking them why they have left and why they haven't come back.
Yeah.
Now that's been done in tech, because I refer to it in my book, but it's not been done in security.
Yeah.
So again, all we can do is, you know, hypothesize as opposed to have accurate information. And again, when I go into companies and I talk to teams, whether it's the CSO or CISO or even HR, and ask the question, are you asking those who are leaving why they are leaving? The resounding answer is no, we're not. They're not doing
the boomerang.
The boomerang hires. Yeah,
yep, that's right.
Yeah.
So maybe just to finish off, the key five rules that you think needs to make a change, and then we'll give a link out for the insecurity.
Oh gosh, so the first one. What was the first one? I can't remember the second one.
Okay,
Incentivized
by lots of people.
Change begins in language. So this is about communication and marketing. Yep. So being very aware of the language that we're using and awareness. So all of those campaigns. The second one is seeing is believing.
Yep.
So we need to show it. And again, get out there, demo it, do a more accurate job.
That's happening in a way. I think definitely we've got the Women in Cyber groups, certainly in Australia.
Cybersecurity Challenge.
Bonnie Butlin has created an international one as well. So I think women are hungry for that to network. So I definitely, you know, there's a positive there. Up to number three, perception is reality.
Perception is reality, So prepare. So all of the, I spoke about many biases that are the Pygmalion effect, the stereotype threat. What else was there? Are girls good at maths, you know, more suited to maths? They were some of the perceptions that are out there. Because often, you know, the thing that will be said is, well, girls just don't want to do it, or women aren't suited to this type of environment. So we have to make sure that the perception is accurate. What else did I
say? Then we got STEAM, referred to STEAM, not STEM. And I agree with that one in terms of getting the arts into squeezed into what STEM is about.
And we can't afford to discriminate, to exclude. Yep. So it's so vital, particularly where we are.
Yep. Then the last couple are design and engineer, and there's a number of areas around that you discuss with that. And lastly is, and you'll be careful with this one, embrace men and work to patriarchy.
Yeah, to end the patriarchy.
Look, it's not going to happen without men, and men are often in those senior leadership positions anyway.
90% of the industry is men. So unless we get men on our side, and there are so many great men out there, and particularly fathers. So fathers, that have daughters that want to see them, whether they come into security or other professions, they want to see a different world. So yeah. We have to do this together. It's the only way that we evolve, standing side by side and getting the support from men and not excluding them.
Jane, where can we find out more information? Because you now have a code of conduct.
Yeah.
And a charter?
Yeah, there's a pledge. So pledge, the pledge, well. Yeah, so there's a tribe. So that's the insecurity tribe. That's free. So it's on LinkedIn, but typically I'll use it on Facebook.
Right.
There's the pledge, so you can actually pledge support for the movement, the insecurity movement, and pledge in any way that you want. So I give examples of how you can pledge. And then more recently, the code of conduct. So the code of conduct is for event organizers, so that, and it relates to all people, not just women. It's just that in more cases, we hear of harassment and bullying and things like that when it comes to women being involved in the events. And all of this information is on my website, cybersecuritycapital.com. And you can have a look. It's very easy to find. Just look for the insecurity menu tab at the top and follow the path.
Great. Well, Jane Franklin, the author of Insecurity, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
On the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jane. Cheers. Good on you.